also called mommy, sister. At that time earlier, I was like, well, no, but she is a storm.
Yeah.
You can't just come. These are your children, so you will talk to them. And she's a lecturer. So teaching and speaking is not something she's unfamiliar with. She does that all the time. Oh yeah, come and speak to us for just a few minutes.
And then all I'll just admonish us is that in the Bible says that only him that endures until the end will be saved. Who advises us that once we have placed our hands back, we don't think of looking back. And the Bible also tells us that all should pass to the confession of our faith. And I'll just leave that with you. We know all we have to do is cry out to God. Once God sees the desire in us, then the grace is his. He grants the improvement. I mean, at times when I read the Bible and I see Paul saying that the things he did, there was a power in him that was working him to do those things. It was not by strength. Now, once God sees our desire, once God sees our heart, that we are willing to give all and follow him, we are willing to give it all it takes, then God, by his spirit that indwells us, thanks of the ability that we have to be willing. So I just admonish us that we should hold fast to the faith that we have received. And God will bless us.
Love you all. Love you.
Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us tell him, Lord, our cups are full, but we desire an overflow. For many, half a cup is sufficient. But when God gives you a full cup, it costs to be thankful. But the faith required is, Lord, fill my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. A full cup, a cup that is flowing over. Father, we appreciate you. We thank you for your help. It has been by your grace.
Yes, Father.
It is not of works, lest any man should boast. We thank you because that which you begin, you will conclude.
Yeah.
We bring the concluding part of this meeting into your hands. Be glorified.
Amen.
Be glorified.
Amen.
Be magnified.
Amen.
Complete the work you have begun.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Speak, Lord, like Samuel was instructed. Your servants are listening. Speak to our hearts. To the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Like I have been telling you since we've been meeting, I pay attention to the songs we sing, and usually I try to get a confirmation of the direction of the meeting from either exhortations that come or the songs that come. And we have been blessing the name of the Lord. And he rightly deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He is worthy of adoration. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But one of the songs that gives credence to the direction we are going this morning is the part where we said, we ask you of the heathen for our inheritance. You will be exalted in the midst of the nations.
Amen.
We lift you up. We lift you high by the power of our praises, because you are God. You alone are God. But the emphasis is, we ask you of the heathen for our inheritance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are people out there that ought to partake of the goodness of the Lord. One of the things I tell people is, it's great. You know, I am saved, my wife is saved, my children are saved, they are in this way. And one of the places we read in Revelation says, 144,000 are going to be the first fruits company. Maybe God has been counting, no? 143,996. Abi, only four places left. Myself, my wife, my son, my daughter. There is no space for any other person. Please stay where you are. We cannot have such an attitude. There must be a desire for fruitfulness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This morning, we are going to be looking at under the faithful priesthood, occupy till I come. And one of the things I have had cause to share with a few people is to tell them, Jesus didn't say be occupied with my coming. There's a difference between occupy till I come and be occupied with my coming. Hallelujah. Are you aware the Lord is coming?
Yes.
You know, no, I'm not. In the experience of Elijah and Elisha, when Elisha was following Elijah, Elisha was aware there was something pending, something coming. And he told Elijah, you are going somewhere, I'm going to follow you. There's something you have in your hand, I'm interested in. As they went, the Bible says they met the sons of the prophets. And when they met them, they said, Elisha, are you aware that the Lord is going to take your master from your head today? Elijah said, yeah, I know. He said, okay, let's sit down and be dancing. The Lord is going to take your master away from your head today. And they were dancing there. Elijah was going, Elisha was following. Eventually, they got to the place where the impartation of the grace required for the hour was to be given. Where were the sons of the prophets? Nowhere. May you not be occupied with his coming. May you occupy till he comes.
Amen.
One is just information. I have information. I know what God wants to do. Somebody say, are you, you know, doing what God wants you to do? Leave that one. Anything you know, I know. What do you want to tell me? It's not what you know. What you know is great. We bless God for it. What are you doing with what you know? Like I share with a few people, one of the things that occupy my mind is the need to be wise. As I move around, I meet a lot of people who have been in the faith. In fact, a lot of people come and meet me and say, what about this brother? What about this sister? What happened to them? And I say, well, I don't know. We began the journey many years ago together, but I don't know where they are now. You know, many of them, all manners of things have happened to them. May it not happen to you.
Amen.
May you complete the work that is committed into your hands in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yesterday, one of the things that came from, you know, the sharings, I think it was my wife that made mention of that, that on that day, many will come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you used to pass by our road. We know you. We used to have, didn't you see us? We did a lot of things, you know, in your name. And he will say, I do not know you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. So I said, I am usually interested in wisdom. Wisdom is, I have information. What do I do with the information that I have? How do I accomplish the purpose that is set before me? That is why there must be a crying unto the Lord. Lord, you have shown me. That's why I like the example that was given this morning. Isaiah 62. You know, until Jerusalem is made a praise, I will give him no rest. Ye that make mention of the name of the Lord, give him no rest. Until there is an accomplishment of the vision that is shown you. Don't rest. Don't give up. Don't relent. I know Sabi grammar is my attitude in a lot of things. Let me see what God is doing. You know, the Bible says don't get involved in long dissertations and so on. No, that leads to no conclusion. Let me know what God is doing in your life. How is he doing it? Is there anything I can learn from you? The Bible says, iron sharpens iron. May we sharpen the countenance of our friends.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just a quick reminder of the things we have looked at in the past 2 days. We have reviewed a few characters in the Bible. We've looked at Jacob, we've looked at Esau. And it is God, not me. God said, I hate Esau. I will lay his heritage waste. I will destroy that which he is building up. But Jacob, I have loved. Even when Jacob was saying, but God, where is the evidence that you love me? It's like Jacob at a particular point in his life will have had challenges. God, you say you love me, yet. You look at his life, 7 years he had to serve for a wife he wanted. At the end of the 7 years, now let us have thy servant depart in peace. The next morning he discovers that he is with not the person he wanted. What is this? God, why is this happening? Calm down. How do you learn patience? On the road. God, give me patience. Give me now. It doesn't work like that. Let me receive an anointing for patience. As you get on the road, the circumstances of life, the challenges. Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? I am teaching you patience. Be patient. Long suffering is not far from it. You know, you suffer. I'm sure a lot of times you want to look for a very spiritual way of counting long suffering. It is what he said, suffering long. I mean, what is more complicated than that? You suffer, it's not short suffering, but long suffering. Hallelujah. All of them are part of the package. But at the end of it all, it is a glorious experience. It brings maturity. The Bible teaches a principle. Don't commit your precious jewels to dogs. God will not give the deep things of himself to an immature person, because the person will just trap. God, is this all you have to offer? The spirit of Esau. Okay, I'm not interested in this one. Let me give me what I can have now. You're talking theories. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. We also talked of Eli and his two sons, Ophni and Phinehas. Ophni and Phinehas are described as sons of Belial, the sons of the enemy, the sons of the devil. They did not know the Lord. They did not fear the Lord. They did not regard the Lord. But Samuel, grew in favor with God, grew in favor with man. You know, he walked with God. And the Bible says, God did not let any of his word fall to the ground. Hallelujah. Amen. God spoke to him. And God took it upon himself to make it his responsibility to ensure that anything Samuel said came to pass. Hallelujah. The Lord will bring you to that estate where whatever he shows you and you say will not fall to the ground. Amen. It will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, one of the things we had, which is important in our relationship with God, is God says, I am a great God. I am not a God you relate with in your spare time. God, I'm busy. When I have time, I can talk to you. Me, a great God. Since I'm a great God, you know, I desire incense and a pure offering. My name shall be great among the heathen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to encourage us, you know, there are three places of scriptures that I want us to look at. We will take the words like a confession, you know, a personal confession. Of course, I'm not saying you recite them every day, but if you were to have time to do it, it will not be an unwise thing. Hallelujah. Because it speaks of the things that God says you are. Hallelujah. The first place is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. If God says this is what I am, then I have a right to confess it until it becomes manifest before all men. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. I want you to read it as I'm reading it and to personalize it. Hallelujah. Do we understand what I'm saying? All right. So, but I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priest. A holy nation. A peculiar person. I am called to show forth the praises of him who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past was not a people, but I am now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. I want you to make it a practice of confessing that I have obtained mercy. I was not of the people of God, but I am now of the people of God. A peculiar person is a special person. You know, peculiar is not an odd person, because there's a time you look at peculiar as odd. No, a special person. Singled out. Most times when I look at a holy nation, most times we look at holiness only from the point of purity, but that's not really what God has in mind. When God says, I am a holy God, I am a separate God, separate from sinner. When God says, be ye holy, what he means is, recognize you are for special use. You are not commonplace. You can't be kicked around. You know, when you go to a house and you want to eat, you have plates that are used for every, you know, plastic plate, all manner. People eat with those ones. But when you have a special occasion, you have a lot of invited persons, you don't go and pick a cheap plastic container and put on the table, special guests have been invited, they are coming for dinner. No. You find people bringing out the silverware, the best plates, the best. That's who you are. Holiness means you are reserved specially. You are very important in the scheme of things of God. It is not to make us arrogant. Like I tell people, it's not about pride. It's about self-worth. Amen. A lot of times I talk in a way, people will look and say, it looks like you are proud. No, I am not proud. I know who I am. You know, we sing the song, I know who I am. A lot of times I see people and I say, are you sure you know who you are? If you know who you are, you won't be living the way you are living. You won't allow the devil kicking you around the way he's doing. I know who I am in him. Of course, it took some time to get to where I am. Experiences, a few knocks here and there. But now I can tell the devil, hey.
Glory! Hallelujah!
We are not mates. You can't. Bible says I'm seated in the heavenly places. Far above all principalities and powers. That's what God has done. Is it you that you did it? No, but God says that where you are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you look at Psalm 2, it says, why do the heathen rage? The kings of the earth imagine a vain thing against the Lord and his anointed. The Bible says, he that sits in the heavens shall panic. The devil is rumbling, making noise, and you are laughing. You are a small, you will be, you are bound. You can't do anything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know that's where I'm seated.
Yes,
I'm seated in the heavens. I look down. A lot of times we want to bind the devil. Satan will bind. No, you don't bind the devil looking up. How do you bind the devil? In the name of Jesus. You are under my feet. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. He purchased. He said, it is finished. That which buys your redemption, your salvation, everything that is needed, it is a total package.
Amen.
It
Amen.
Is finished.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, priests who rule by decree. They are kings on the earth. Like I said, unto God you are a son, unto the world you are a man's son, a man child. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. A holy nation, a peculiar people, show forth the praises of him who has called you. You are called out of darkness unto his marvelous light. You are not a people, but you are now the people of God. Hallelujah. So, first place of confession. The second place of confession is 1 Samuel. You know, we looked at 1 Samuel yesterday, but we passed that particular place. But it is a confession, a place of a confession, because it is a reality that God will bring to come to pass in your life. It was one of the songs we sang yesterday. I was thinking, should I bring it up? But I believe the Lord wanted it to come to pass now. 1 Samuel, I think I said, Abby?
Yeah.
1 Samuel 2. He says, and Anna prayed and said, Anna prayed, Anna sang, Anna rejoiced. What did she sing? My heart rejoices in the Lord. Sadness has no right to prevail against us. Misery has no right to prevail against us. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. What is a horn? You know, because at times you're saying, my animals have their horns, and many of them fight with the horn. So, the horn is an instrument of strength, the means of a fight. My capacity to fight is strengthened in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know the Christian walk is a fight.
Yeah.
You have an enemy. It's not a physical. You know, I was mentioning yesterday that, you know, the Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So men are not your enemy. They may be tools in the hands of the devil, pushing them to do terrible things. But your enemy is the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Implies you are wrestling. Hallelujah. So, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside him. Neither is there any rock like our God. So you tell the devil, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Don't let arrogancy come out of your mouth. The Lord is a God of knowledge. By him, actions are weighed. You know, one of the things that will be coming up in statements, not necessarily now, but even subsequently, is the word judgment, 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 judgment. Even today, we are going to be looking at that, because in Occupy Till I Come, there is a great emphasis on judgment. We will be judged. But let us not see it as a negative thing. That was what I think I said yesterday or the day before. That when you look at judgment from God's perspective, it is a time of a reward. Hallelujah. So, I have served the Lord, I have served faithfully, not in my strength, but by his grace. But even then, at the time of judgment, it is a right reward,
Amen.
A positive reward.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
May we know a right reward,
Amen.
A positive reward. It says, the Lord is a God of knowledge. He knows what is going on. Nothing is hidden from him. By him, actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty, you know, those are instruments of war. The bows of the mighty men that are risen or arising against you are broken. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
The bows of the mighty men are what? Broken. But those who stumbled are guarded with strength. So there is a gradual declension and there is a gradual ascension. The unfaithful priests are descending. The faithful priests are ascending. Hallelujah. You know, there will be no void. God does not like a void. And because, you know, remember yesterday, the Lord said, before the light will go out of the temple of God, God knew Eli was judged and he had been put aside. Another source of light must rise in the land. You will be that light.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, they that were full have hired out themselves for bread. That's the Eli class. But they that were hungry will no longer be hungry.
Amen.
So that the barren had borne seven, and she that had many children is waxed feeble, I will be fruitful.
Amen.
I will be fruitful.
Amen.
I will be fruitful.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I will be productive.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Says, be warned, the Lord killeth, and the Lord maketh alive. Somebody might say, that sounds like hate speech. Or is that not so? How can you say God kills? Maybe God might cry and say, how can you say that? Well, he said it himself.
Yes,
sir. I kill when I need to kill. But that's not the news. What is the news? He maketh alive.
Amen.
He will make you alive.
Amen.
He will make me alive.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
He brings to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor. He makes rich. He brings low. He lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. So, what is your experience? Your experience is covered here. Hallelujah. He raises the poor. He lifts the beggar to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. Our goal is not an earthly throne. The throne that is set before us is the throne of glory. Hallelujah.
Glory.
The pillars of the earth, they belong to the Lord. He has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet. He will keep my feet.
He will keep my feet.
But the wicked shall be silent in darkness. By strength shall no man prevail. The Esau's that are naturally strong and performing all manners of things, we learn that by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king. Do you know you are the king of God? He will give strength to you.
Yes.
He will exalt the horn of his anointed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Should we stop here or do we take one more?
Oh.
Do we take one more?
Yes.
Because like I said, these are things you go and confess upon yourself. My horn will be exalted. Was that one of the songs we sang?
Yes.
My horn is exalted. Hallelujah. Now, the final one in this context, Isaiah 54. You know, Isaiah 54 is actually an extension of 1 Samuel 2. You know, it is the interpretation of 1 Samuel 2. In 1 Samuel 2, there's a prophecy and the fulfillment is seen in Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. It says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. So, what is your confession? I sing now. I sing of productivity.
Amen.
I sing of breakthrough.
Amen.
I sing of the help of God.
Amen.
I sing a new song. Sing, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that is not travail with child. For more, you know, it says, Penina who had had, you know, the faith. I'm not saying pray that people will die, of course, that's not what I'm talking about. It's speaking about a spirit, an influence, a negative influence declining. And on account of your faithfulness, the light of God projecting, progressing, going forth. Hallelujah. For more have been the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge your imagination. Have a dream. You know, I'm sure a lot of people must have seen Joseph, this useless dreamer. He's always dreaming. I saw this dream, and I saw this dream. I'm not talking about reckless dreams. I saw somebody, they were pursuing me. No, I don't come and share people pursuing you. You know, that's not a dream. That's a pursuit. Or that's a horror movie. You know, that's not what we are talking about. I'm talking about dreams of greatness, dreams of glory, dreams of progress, dreams of the help of God. Hallelujah. Remember the various prophecies we read. The mountain that is the Lord's house shall be exalted. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful when elevated, the joy of the whole earth. Are you as Mount Zion? So enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for thou shalt break forth. Amen. The word shalt is a strong, is a power word going with you. You shall break forth.
Amen.
On the right and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles.
Amen.
Make the desolate cities to be inhabited.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know this? This is what is going on now, is a fulfillment of this passage of scriptures. Was there a fellowship like this in this city 10 years ago? Hallelujah. So there is a gathering, and God will replicate this in many other places.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And some of us will be instruments for doing it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Any volunteers? Yes. All right. I just want to be sure you are still here.
Amen.
Fear not, you shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Neither be thou confounded, for you shall not be put to shame.
Amen.
You shall forget the shame of your youth. You shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For thy maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Hallelujah. At times I feel it's even insulting, but it's like, okay, you almost insult, I'm the God of the whole earth. This small puny earth. The God of the heavens, the God of all creation. The earth, you know, a lot of times we look at the earth and we celebrate. But when you really look at creation, the earth is such a tiny, puny thing. But in case people get carried away, somebody can say, I'm the governor of Winnipeg. God says, I am the creator of the whole earth.
Hallelujah.
Take Winnipeg, place it in the midst of the whole earth, and it's like a tiny bit. But the governor of Winnipeg is a powerful person. How much more our God? The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Hallelujah. So we said today, we shall be looking at occupy till I come. Not be occupied with my coming, but occupy till I come. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 19. You know, the times we are in are exciting times, but at the same time, they are times we must be careful about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Still coming back to this concept of wisdom. The Bible says, like we had read in Revelation 12 yesterday, we said the man child stands, you know, the woman stands on the moon. And we said the moon is the revealed word of God. Hallelujah. Now, a core thought in wisdom is Jesus speaking and saying, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and dances with them. Sorry? You hear the saying and confess them. Is that what he said?
No.
What did he say? If you are doing it, well, you know you are doing the word. So, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So we want to really go, you know, for the past 2 days we've been looking at the being, but now we want to look at the doing. To show you are a wise man, you must do what he says. Hallelujah. So we are going to one of the things he said and he is saying at this time unto us. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 19, reading from verse 12. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But the first thing we are going to consider in the looking at this theme or this topic, occupy till I come, is the next statement the Lord made. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? Jesus called the 10, you know, because he was speaking, he definitely is the man in question. He was the one traveling. And the job is, I am going and I will come back. When I go, between now and when I come back, occupy till I come. That was the assignment to the 10 servants. Then a picture is given. He said, the people of that man, the people of that king, the people of that nobleman, the environment was a hostile environment. There was a proposing by the people of the land, we will not have this man to rule over us. Hallelujah. So, the Lord calls you. He says, I have put my grace upon your life, but you are going to operate in a very hostile environment. Hallelujah. Now, what am I trying to bring up here? I meet a few brethren, and when I meet them and I say, the Lord said, occupy till I come. He said, yes, it's true, but you know, in this place, this is the rule, or this is the law. And I want to ask, will you be the first set of people to find yourself operating in a hostile environment? In what environment were the early believers operating? Were people very receptive of the gospel and they were very happy? You know, when Peter and the others preached, what happened to them? You know, after the day of Pentecost, when they saw this man who had been lamed and they ministered to him, the man was healed. What was the result? Did the whole people in the land begin to rejoice? Oh, salvation and glory has come. Was that what they were doing? No, they were arrested and they got into trouble. So, am I saying go and get arrested? No.
I'm simply saying you are operating in a very hostile environment. And you will not be capable, you will not be allowed to tell the Lord, Jesus, the reason I didn't do anything was because I was in a hostile environment. He told you before he gave you the assignment. You are in a hostile environment. The ways of the world are in conflict. Like we said, the kings of the earth, they imagine a vain thing against the Lord and is anointed. That is the environment. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? Occupy till I come, Lord, you will grant me grace.
Amen.
That even though I am in a challenging, the challenges from each place to the other, they are different. If you come to Nigeria or if you go to Ghana, you know, recently we had an invitation. I mean, we will be going to Cameroon in December, you know, to visit the brethren. Why are we visiting them? For like more than 10 years, we've been going there, you know, every year. In fact, twice a year. But suddenly, in the part of Cameroon that we used to go, is the, you know, the nation is bilingual, just like Canada. You have English and French, but the French are more in power. You know, the government is largely French. And usually anything English, there's a bit of suspicion. So right now, up till like a month ago, the English-speaking area was like under a siege. Things were so difficult, people were getting killed. So when we will call the brethren and say, can we come? They say, ah, no, don't come. Oh, even we who are here, it's not safe for us to move around, not to talk of those of you who are from outside the country. But by the grace of God, we are planning to go again in December. And why are we going there? To go and encourage the brethren. Now, yes, it's been tough, it's been challenging, but the Lord has been with you. And the Lord has actually, two challenges, many of them, you know, faced the challenge of possibility of being killed. Then the other challenge of starvation. Because if it is unsafe to go outside, to go to work, you could be abducted, you could be picked and killed. How easy is it to eat? Now let me ask, are you facing such a challenge here? Is it unsafe for you to go out? Is it impossible for you to eat? But I can assure you, your own challenges are different from the challenges of those in Cameroon. But the challenges are still there. Praise the Lord. So, occupy till I come in an environment that is a tough one. But there's encouragement to us. The Bible says, at a point, the Lord returned. Hallelujah. When he returned, he sent, go and gather all those my enemies and deal with them. The enemies of the Lord will be dealt with.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, his citizens hated him. They sent a message after him. We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass. It will come to pass. When he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded his servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Are you aware that God is a businessman? He does not like bad investments. Your life will not be a bad investment.
Amen.
The Lord will get the returns he is expecting from your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The returns of character.
Amen.
And the results of fruits.
Amen.
People being added to the kingdom.
Amen.
It will not be out of place for you to reach out to others and tell them, come and receive of the goodness of the Lord. He has been good to me. He can be good to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will not be intimidated. He might frown his face. That doesn't matter. If he frowns today and then you witness to him and he gives his life to Christ and he begins to smile tomorrow, is that not better?
Amen.
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 So, then came the first saying, Lord, your pound had gained 10 pounds. What do you say to that?
Amen.
Wow. Great. Hallelujah. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because you have been faithful
in a very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities. Amen.
Amen.
You know, like my wife said, I don't know whether it's here or somewhere else, there is a way I can be praying, Lord, I want you to place me over 10 cities, over 100 cities. What are you doing? I'm not doing anything. I'm just praying about it. 10 cities. Oh, 10 cities. Oh, 10 cities. On that day, they will say, you are given one talent. Why would I give 10 cities to somebody who has produced nothing? May that not be the account concerning you.
Amen.
10 cities will come to who? The person who has produced 10 pounds. It is what you bring that will be assessed. Ah, okay, this person has shown competence. This person has shown capacity. You know, one of the things I share with brethren is, Jesus was particular about the instruction. He says, start the ministration from your own Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, move to Samaria. From Samaria, move, you know, it's like a four-pronged approach to the work. I began to reflect that how come God has helped some of us. You go outside the country and you are invited, come and speak. And it dawned on me, God didn't start by bringing us abroad to go and be preaching. We started for many years. I was in a fellowship called K2 Fellowship in Lagos. You know, I was living in a house in K2, and you know, a lot of brethren were gathering there. And I'm proud to say, mommy here was one of my daughters in those days. This, our young man that we are seeing today, was one of those who came at that time. I want to marry one of you. I hope I'm not telling a lie. Eh? I am one of those who want to come and marry. The way they are doing to you now. Some of you want to get married and you go and meet them. It was like my junior brother in those days. So when he came, I said, no problem. It is well. So we bless God. Hallelujah. The key thing is, as you start from that your local place, God moved to a regional level of influence. From regional level of influence to national level of influence, we will have national conferences, and they will say, Brother Shola, do you have anything to say? You go out and say. And now, you go to America. I was in Atlanta in September. We are here now. From Milton Keynes in the UK, Cameroon, different places. God is not going to, you know, like they say, charity does not begin from abroad. Abi, is that not the way it is? Charity begins at home. I'm not sure it's in the Bible, but it's a principle. Hallelujah. I want to be put on an international stage. Ministry, go and start in your local fellowship.
Amen.
And be found faithful. It is required of a steward that he be found faithful. It's a body thing. And I've really been quite excited about the various people that have come, led the songs, you know, led the prayer, given a short exhortation. And I'm sure many of us are growing. You will grow.
Amen.
You will grow in grace.
Amen.
The Lord will help you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So the man said, I have gained 10. Pounds, and he was told, you will have authority over 10 nations or over 10 countries. Now, one will say, is that the only person that God saw? So let's continue the reading. The second came saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Did he say, where were you? When your friend was making 10, you know, making 10 pounds, what were you doing? You are very unproductive. Is that what he said? No, every man has his own capacity. The Bible says, those who compare themselves with themselves are not wise. One of the things I said to a long time ago, I will see somebody ministry. I like the way he's ministering, no? But I tell him, he does not have my grace. What you can do, I may not be able to do. But what I can do, you can't do. I'm old enough and wise enough to know
you know, we've been ministering for years. We've been in this business for a long time. I have, over the years, come. That's the essence of body ministry.
Amen.
Body ministry means God takes me through experiences that prepare me for what I'm able to do.
Amen.
And He takes you through your own experiences, and He makes you who He wants you to be. Celebrate yourself. I spoke a few minutes ago about self-worth. Thank God. It's not easy to say, brother, shall I go and sit down? Why should I go and sit down? You didn't call me. You didn't give me grace. I don't need any permission from you to stand in ministry. God will open a door.
Amen.
You know, people say it, that the air is big enough for all birds to fly. It's not in the Bible. But one of the wisdoms you learn as you move around, there is room for everybody. And the interesting thing is, many of you may not know, as you are here now, you are so many, it looks like everybody is a star. A day may come. God will take you somewhere else. And when you get there, you look around. Hey, all the people that I used to know, they are not here. Yes, you have been trained. You have been equipped. It is now time to go and chart your own course. Make new roads. You know, it's so tempting. I'm going to run back. If the Lord says you should come back, come back. But He might be saying, go and begin a new work somewhere. That is the reason why the work increased. For those of us in Lagos that share our own testimony, we started as one fellowship. From one fellowship, became two, became three, became four, became five. I think we had about six or seven fellowships. And many of them are growing, spread all over Lagos. Of course, was it painful when some of the brethren were going? I used to see somebody every Sunday. Then he says, I'm going to the other end of town. And you only see once in a while. Thank God you have phone now. And in case you are missing their face, put their face in the phone when you want to talk. Let me see your face. You too see my own. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the important thing is the work must increase. We are not called to compete. We are called to complement each other.
Yeah.
The eye is good for seeing.
Yeah.
The ear is good for hearing. The day you close your eyes and you say, I want to see with my ears, what will happen to you? You begin to... I always tell people that one of the most foolish things you can do is, I'm tired of walking with my leg. I want to try my head. So you put your head on the ground. How long can you go? You will crash very soon. The body, there are no irrelevant parts.
Hallelujah.
Every part is important. You know, one of the challenges I'm still having now is trying to remember all the names and remember all the faces. But after a while, I will know all of you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you are unique.
Amen. All right.
There is a grace in your life. Stand in the calling that God has placed you. Don't allow yourself, that other brother, the way he ministered, I'm not sure I can minister, so you go and hide yourself. No. Start at your own level. Eventually, one day, the brother that used to minister and the thing was intimidating you, one day, you too, you will stand. And then by the time you finish, the person will say, wow, what happened? The Lord happened.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
So, verse 20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound, which I have kept laid up in a safe place. I'm a very smart person. You know, I took it, got a special napkin, purpose made. I put it inside and hid it in a place nobody can steal it. I really made a very good effort. Hallelujah. I feared you. The fear we are saying of having of the Lord is not this type of fear. This one is a fear based in terror. It can kill me. No, it says my thoughts are not like that. My thoughts are good thoughts. My thoughts are thoughts of watering. You shall go forth with joy, be led forth with peace. He is not a wicked God, I can tell you that. He is a good God. He is reliable. He is dependable. When He says, fear me, what He means is reverence me, respect me, honor me, value me. Hallelujah. I feared you because you are austere man. You take up that you did not lay down. Is that so? Mm. You reap that you did not sow. And he said unto him, out of your own mouth, may we not be judged out of our mouth.
Amen.
Will I judge you, thou wicked servant? The word wicked there is not because of evil he did. His mind is not God's mind. It was not. That's why I like the prayer we prayed this morning. Lord, make me see as you see. Let my mind arise in the frequency in which your mind is. Let me have your perspective. God is a creator. Hallelujah. He's creative. And I believe many inventors are amongst us now.
Amen.
You will go out and chart new grounds. Make things that no other person has been able to make.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The days of believers being mediocres, achieving nothing. The only thing I do, I carry Bible. As if the Bible is a horrible thing. The Bible is a great store.
Glory.
Great wisdom. Great capacity is locked inside.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit guiding you, go this way, go this way, do this, do that. Testimonies. Powerful ones. So being a child of God is not an excuse for failure in life. No, I don't believe in it. I will have made success, but because I was following the Lord. What? That's an insult. Is God a failure?
No.
He made the heaven and the earth. No other person has done that. Nobody can lay claim to have made the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. So let us not have a wicked heart. A wicked heart is a heart that is not in conformity. It is not seen as God sees. I feared you. You know, you like to reap where you did not sow. And God says, of your mouth, I will judge you. You are a wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man. I take up that I did not lay down. I reap that I did not sow. Then why did you not give my money to an investor so that at my coming, I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto him, out of your mouth, I will judge you. So, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said, but he already has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, unto everyone who has shall be given. You know the way I imagined he got to the 10? He had one, he produced 2. He took the 2, increased it to 4. 4 to 8, till he got to 10, and the Lord came. May you be doing the Lord's desire, his will, at any time in the name of Jesus. For I say unto you, unto everyone who has shall be given. He who does not have, it shall be taken. But then 27, but this my enemies, who would not have that I should rule over them, bring them here and slay them before me. Hallelujah. God will put every rebellion down.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every opposition shall be devastated.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, a few things we need to note. In this passage, there are a few things that give an idea of the mindset of the servant. The orientation of the servant, the placement, the equipping of the servant who is given the assignment. One, the mindset of the servant. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the pattern son. He is the pattern steward. He is the pattern priest. He sets the pattern for us. I want us to read from the beginning of Luke 19. There's an account there that tells us the mindset required to be faithful in this context. He says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was chief among the publicans. He was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not for the press. There were a lot of people around him. He was little of stature. He ran before, climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place where he was, you know, he was on the tree, Jesus looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. He made haste, came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Who are the people who are speaking? Righteous people. They had identified a man and said, this man is a sinner. So if you say somebody is a sinner, it means you are righteous now. But before Jesus, was any righteous? Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come. I want you to read that with me. The Son of Man is come to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came to do what? To condemn? No. He came to seek. Do you know what it means to seek? You go out of your way. The mindset of the man who will occupy will go out of his way to seek and to save. Jesus is the pattern. Even in the account of the Samaritan woman, did Jesus go to seek and to save? Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, he went there. They thought he was hungry. He told them, okay, yeah, go and get me food. And they went. Anyway, we'll come back to that a little. But we're talking about the mindset of the man who will go out. The man is not arrogant. The man is does not look down on others. He does not have an arrogant, you know, attitude. Jesus, you shouldn't be talking to this type of people. They are low, whatever. And so it's because of them I came. You feel you are righteous. The most righteous person is the one mixing with, I mean, like the Samaritan one, like was said, nobody expected, even the disciples. Ah, Jesus, why are you talking to this kind of person? You shouldn't be talking to this type of person. May we be rightly minded. In the name of Jesus. Maybe driving home this point, let us go to Luke 15. Still, the mindset of the man who will reach out. Luke 15 from verse 1 says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man received another account. So Jesus must have been used to people condemning his reaching out to people. This man received sinners and eats with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Key, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Do we get that?
Yeah.
There is joy in heaven. One of the things I like asking people is, when last did heaven rejoice on account of your faithfulness, on account of your ministry? When last did you bring anybody into the kingdom? And I've met people 10 years, 20 years, nobody. How do you bring people when you're not witnessing to them? But Jesus, I hope you know it's Jesus speaking here, not me. So, you can't accuse me of quoting out of context. Or am I quoting out of context? It's the word of God. Hallelujah. There is rejoicing in heaven. And to make sure that we are not mixed up about it, he told another, you know, parable and concluded the same way. Verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle? So it's like, okay, if I've used the example of the man and you didn't get it, let me use the example of the woman. Does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. He didn't complete it, but he could have added more than 99 that stayed behind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Should heaven rejoice? Should the angels rejoice? Hallelujah. Now, the mindset. I'm also going to make reference to the equipping of the man who the Lord sends on assignment. Luke 19. Reading from verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet man never sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Are you aware you are in the place of that colt? The colt is a small, you know, like a small horse. Possibly before now, tied by understanding, limited by whatever it is. And the word came. The Lord has need of him. Lose him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to assure you, the Lord has need of you.
Amen.
And the work he has been doing over the years, leading up to now, is to lose you, to release you, to release you from mundane use, ordinary use, to a holy use, a godly use. Hallelujah!
Amen.
You will be available.
Amen.
For the Lord's work, for the Lord's purpose, in the name of Jesus. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why do you lose the court? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the court, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Hallelujah! Amen. God does not send you at your own cost. Did you hear that? He does not send you at your own cost. What did they do to the court? What did they do to the court? They put garments on the court, and they put clothes on the way. Why do you put clothes on the way of a court? To make sure he does not put his leg into the wrong thing, entrapment and so on. Hallelujah!
Amen.
God will provide everything you need.
Amen.
You know, it's an experience I have had. Lord, you are sending me on an assignment. Nobody goes to war at his own cost. It's the word of God. If I'm going to go, you will provide. And the Bible says, you know, the men of the world, nobody will employ a person and not give the tools for the work. If you employ somebody and you don't give the tools for the work, then the person is not adequately equipped for the work. And that's where this, you know, recurring statement, the just shall live by faith, keeps coming. Ah, God, I will have gone, but the assignment was too big. Who was going to fund it? Did he tell you to fund it? God will not send you on an assignment and tell you to fund it. Do you have the resources to fund it anyway? No. Like the cult, God will make a way. He will soften the path. And he will clothe you. You will not go naked. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. May you usher in the King.
Amen.
That comes in the name of the Lord. May you put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And make no provision for the flesh.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Also a word of caution. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Were they talking to the cult?
No.
Who are they talking to?
The Lord Jesus.
Who had the fine dress? The court. Who was stepping on the fine road?
The court.
Is it not possible for the court to be, they are talking to me? Do you get what I'm saying? That has been the undoing of many people. When you carry the ark, when you carry the Lord, people begin to declare, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. They are not talking to you. They are talking to the Lord. And one of the things that destroys ministry very quickly is ascribing to yourself the glory that should go to God. You stand in ministry, people are blessed. Of course they should have known. They should know that, you know, we have it. We sabi. It's not you. It's the person you are carrying. It's the one speaking. You must be broken. You must be humble. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe we need to begin to round up. In rounding up, I want us to go back again to that book, Malachi, and we will round up there. So many things have been said, but I want to bring a few principal things. That are key. The first chapter speaks about honor. Honor of God, service of God, and so on. and that has been adequately addressed. Second chapter speaks of priestly expectation. It says, if you're not here, if you're not led to heart to give glory unto my name, I will send a curse. I will corrupt your seed, spread dung, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you so that my covenant might be with the faithful priesthood. My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. He was afraid before my name. 6. The law of truth was in his mouth. The word of truth was in his mouth. The word of God, the word of faith was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. He did turn many away from iniquity. The priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the word of God at his mouth. He is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So that is a priestly expectation. The law of truth, the word of God, walk with the Lord in peace. They should seek the law out of your mouth. You should be a messenger of the Lord. You must carry him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then another thing that we have not touched, but which is equally important, is found in verse 10. I've put it there as marital fidelity. Verse 10, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah had dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel. For Judah had profaned the holiness of the law, which he loved, and had married the daughter of a strange God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Bible teaches a principle. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. I just saw the guy. He was such a nice guy. And I thought I could convert him. I could bring him into the fellowship and make him one of the brothers. Those are slippery grounds. Be sure that the person you are marrying has the same vision, the same goal as you do. Verse 12, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles. Verse 13, and this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying, insomuch he regards not the offering anymore. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet is she your companion and the wife of your covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. Wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? God does not like infidelity, unfaithfulness. I might say, well, not all of us are married. All of you are going to get married. Are you not going to get married? So we need to begin to prepare your mind from now. There is no room for marital infidelity. The first one is, don't marry the daughter of a strange God. It was such an experience that turned the heart of Solomon. You know, Solomon was regarded as a wise man, but he married the daughters of strange, you know, gods, and they turned his heart away in his old age. May our hearts not be turned away.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Be careful about who you marry, and that applies to both the men and the women. But now for those who are married, or as you go into marriage, you are counseled. Be true, be faithful to the person you marry. You know, the next verse. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith he hated putting away. Do you know what putting away means? Divorce. Those are the things that bring a negative name to the name of the Lord. A negative bent. I hate divorce. I hate putting away. Because when there is peace, then the work can progress. But if there's no peace at all, how can a man go out to go and preach? You know, you go and devil say, go and preach to yourself. Go and make peace at home. Praise the Lord. He hates putting away. Hallelujah. Then, another thing that we learn from this place is giving to the Lord. Financial giving. You know, because at times we play with what? Giving to the Lord. I've given myself everything I have, I give it to the Lord. Everything you have given to the Lord is a gradual thing. Start with the one in your pocket. Ah, brother, we don't see you giving. Oh, it's the whole of me that I've been giving to the Lord. Amen. Now, it says some things that has been controversial. Malachi 3:6-12. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. But you said, wherein shall we return? It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast out fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Now, like I said, this has been a controversial passage. And some have said, I believe in tithing. Some say, I don't believe in tithing. And I ask, do you believe in giving? Whatever title you call it. Tithe, untithe, giving. In this way we have all manners of names. But like I said, many say, I'm giving to the Lord. The whole of me is given to the Lord. When last did you put anything in the offering box? No, it's the whole of me that is given. And I'm keeping my money in my pocket. If you believe in tithing, fine. Key issue as far as I'm concerned is, the Bible teaches a principle. Give. And it shall be given to you. Hallelujah. The word of God is not going to change. You know, I still come back again to some of the things. About us to sit with people and say, what are the things that God will use? The reasons why God will bless you. One of the reasons is, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's way of doing things, and all these things shall be added. That is one principle. Another one is honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. God blesses you. Another one is ask, knock, seek, and so on. But a very good one is give, and it shall be given to you. And at times, you know, I've had cause to say this, and people say, oh, but shall I now you shall be? I say, okay. We come to fellowship and say, both those who give and those who do not give, the Lord will give to them. So it's good. Those who give, the Lord will give to them. Those who don't give, the Lord will give to them. But somebody can challenge you and say, God, why are you giving to those who have not given? Because you said we should give and it will be given to you. I hope I'm not causing controversy. All I am telling you, if you do not give, you are on your own. The key issue is, most times when we have issues with tithing, is like, how can I give 10%? It's tough in this Canada. It's tough. You have to work hard and work hard and work hard. Who is telling you about 10%? you start with whatever it is, 10%, let's use that for argument's sake. God will bring you to a point you can give 50. The way God is dealing with me, I don't think 10%. I look at projects, things that need to be done in the fellowship. Rent has to be paid. This has to be done. And I, God, how do we go about it? 10%. 10% is an insult to God. You see, the issue is, if you have a miserly mentality, a miserly mindset, you know, like that man, you'll be looking at that one coin. You go and put it, then take it again. And put it, and take again. Be, you know, idolizing the coin. Give, it shall be given to you. I hope I'm making sense.
Yes.
Whatever you choose to believe, give. Start with small. Whatever it is you're able to give, and God will begin to teach you higher levels of giving. So that money, the essence of giving is not that God is broke or he needs your money. No, he wants to teach you how to be like himself. Hallelujah. He gives and you want to be his son. And you want to be miserly. You want to hold. And let me also put this. One of the examples I put down is, you know, I preach that a lot. I don't know whether I might have offended people at times when I say it. But, you know, Luke 15 says a man had two sons. One went to the father, collected everything and blew it. Came back. The other one stayed in the house and was serving faithfully. Alone that is mighty has done. You know, has been singing, enjoying the songs. And as he sings the song, he will remember his junior brother. That foolish boy. He will suffer. He will suffer. And when the report came that the boy was suffering, he said, I knew. He must suffer. Me, I'm saying I'm walking, not getting anything. He went and is enjoying himself. Let me tell you, he was thinking the boy was enjoying himself. Then one day the boy came back. And the father took the biggest calf. I tell people, he must have been eyeing that calf. One day, my father will think good of me. Then he will give me this calf. He will give me. I won't ask him what. Does he not know what I need? He will give me. Then the brother came, they killed the calf. And made better pepper soup, did all manners of chop. And they didn't wait for him. They started the party. Music, you know, dancing, and having a good time. And when he came near the house, he heard the sound of rejoicing. He said, that is an unusual sound. May the sound of rejoicing not be unusual in our midst. May there be rejoicing all the time in the name of Jesus. May we celebrate the goodness of God. Hallelujah. He says the sound of music had not been in the house. Hallelujah. And then he said, what's going on here? What happened? They said, that's your useless brother. That useless brother of yours. He came back and your father went, took the best and started killing. Gave him the best dress. Gave him all the other fine things. And the boy went to the father, said, you, that useless son of yours, all this while I have been serving you. May we have not such a mindset.
Amen.
Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. The world is rich. God says, ask, seek, knock. And I tell people, but I rejoice with a lot of my brethren. They are satisfied with what they have. They don't see God as, I don't want to get into any. Me, I like the goodness of God.
Yeah.
He is my father.
That's right.
Go to America. You see the president of America. Do you see his children? Do they look miserable?
No.
I know many of you are very spiritual, so you don't see the fine suits they wear. Abby? I am the son of the living God.
Yes.
He made heaven and earth. As you move around, as I go from city to city, we've done a lot of traveling lately. I see beauty. It's not man that created it. It's God. So, as he teaches you, don't set your heart on those things. He's not a wicked God. You can ask him. You know, one of the things I tell myself is, I am not going to live a life that when God blesses somebody else, I will feel bad or miserable. God, you left me to go and give him. Why? I give anybody you want to give. You've been good to me. I will rejoice with you. Whatever you have that I do not have, I will have in the future. And I may have a better one than your own. The key issue is what I have, I like. I tell him what I like. Give me anyone you like. And he gives you, I don't like, but I better not tell him. That's not God. Tell him what you like. It might take time. I was reflecting a few hours earlier. Some of the things that God did in my life, it took a long time. I wanted the house. And it took about 16 years. From the time I began to walk to the time I had the house. But today I have a beautiful house. For many years, of course, I must give credit to my wife. She was the one who sat down with the architect and they designed the house. Beautiful house. Now, am I staying there? No. I've moved on. No, what I mean by that is not even that I'm not going to live in the house. There are better ones that are coming. I've not made up my mind where I want to stay. I might stay in this fine area. Or I might even go to a better place. Ah, Brother Shola, you are very... I am very son of God. That is the reason. He is my father. Where does he say? He says in heaven. Is there cold? Okay, in Africa we have a problem with it. One of the things I tell brethren, God, if you are going to give me a car, give me one that has AC. Because to be driving in Lagos and you are driving in the hot weather, you are sweating. It's not easy to be. You know, when I talked to God, God gave me a good car. He gave me a brand new car some years back. And anytime I'm going to visit the brethren, you know, some years back I was in a bar and I wanted a car and I said, God, I want a really good car. But the funny thing is the one that I was given was not even the one I was eyeing. I was eyeing a lower car. The group MD of the company just said, ah, Shola, you know, you've been working hard. And he found a good excuse to give me a fine four-wheel drive. In those days, in Nigeria, to have a brand new four-wheel drive was a beautiful thing. And I will enter the car, put on AC, put a good CD inside, and be playing. I'll be driving. I will go from Aba, I will drive, you know, to Port Harcourt, drive to Owerri, drive to Uyo to go and fellowship. I will get there refreshed, play good music, come out, share with the brethren. When I finish, I will enter my car again. And the music will be playing, and I will be bobbing my head. People will be wondering who he was with this man. I am enjoying the goodness of my Father. Hallelujah. My Father is a good God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Am I saying there are no times of tough experiences? Plenty. If I share my rough experiences, there are plenty. Plenty, plenty, plenty. Hallelujah. Amen. But it does not take away from the fact that God is a good God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Finally, we're talking about giving. Give. Don't hold too tightly. That which God gives you, make available for the work of the gospel, for the work of the house. Amen. And then the importance of fellowship. Malachi 3, verse 16. He said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord. In that day when I make up my jewels, you shall be his. When he is making up those who are precious to him, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Hallelujah. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who serves him. Your life will be an example.
Amen.
The evidence required of a person
who serves God. Hallelujah. Amen. Finally, we will just read. We may not make comment. Malachi 4. Behold, the day is coming that shall burn as an oven. All the proud, yea, all those who do wickedly, shall be stubble. Amen. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked. That's the assignment of the man-child. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. Remember the word of God, which I commanded it unto him in Horeb. You know, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. I will send you a ministry of reconciliation. That's what we've been doing this weekend. Reconciling you to the purposes of God, to the mind of God, to the call of God upon your life. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads in prayer. It is expected of a steward, a servant, a son, to be found faithful. It is by